Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, July the 17th, rescuers race against time to find hundreds of people still missing in deadly floods in Central Europe. Indonesia becomes the new epicenter of the COVID-19 pandemic in Asia, surpassing India in the number of daily infections. And Pope Francis encourages the Franciscan Order of Friars Minor to be true to their legacy of closeness with the poor and the marginalised. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Rescue crews are racing to find survivors of floods that devastated parts of Western Europe, killing more than 150 people and leaving hundreds more still missing. Stefan Bos reports from the Netherlands, a low-lying seafaring nation where authorities have declared an emergency in the south.
With the Maas River and other streams rising to record levels, many people have been evacuated. Dutch authorities declared the south of Limburg province a disaster area. A hospital in the city of Venlo was among the latest sites to be evacuated. Hundreds of Dutch soldiers are now involved in rescue missions. Across the border in Germany and Belgium, the damage is even worse. More than 150 people died in these two neighboring nations, most of them in Germany. In addition, at least hundreds of people remain missing. German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier, who visited flood-stricken areas in his nation, said he was deeply moved by what he saw. President Steinmeier says he is stunned by the devastation. He refers primarily to the damage in the flood-hit regions of the western states of North Rhine-Westphalia, Rhineland-Palatinate and Saarland, which have been the worst affected by the rainfall. He adds that many people have lost what they have built all their lives, and he makes clear that whole places are scarred by the disaster. Heavy rains also hit Switzerland and Luxembourg. Back here in the Netherlands, Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte visited flood-stricken areas in Limburg. I have been in contact with my colleagues in Germany and Belgium, where over 100 people have died in the flooding. We can only hope that this will not happen here. European leaders blamed the extreme weather causing the heavy rainfall and related flooding on what they view as dangerous climate change. However, it has also sparked debate about improving water management, as an increasing number of people live in low-lying areas near rivers. In addition, much of the Netherlands lies below sea level, adding to concerns about the future of dikes and other flood defense systems. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos in the Netherlands.
And as the more virulent Delta variant of COVID-19 causes record surges in infections and deaths in Indonesia, the nation of more than 270 million has become the new epicenter of the pandemic in Asia, replacing India. Robin Gomes has more.
With 54,000 infections on Friday, Indonesia led the world in new daily cases, followed by the United Kingdom with 51,870 cases and Brazil with 45,591. The Southeast Asian nation's daily toll on Friday surged to a record high of 1,205 deaths, surpassing the country's previous record of 1,040 deaths on July the 7th. Indonesia's cumulative tally of confirmed cases thus rose to 2,780,803 since the government declared COVID-19 a public health emergency on March the 31st, 2020. Brazil led the world in casualties with 1,450 deaths on Friday. However, the figures are believed to be a conservative estimate due to the inadequate testing outside the capital, Jakarta. The crisis has overwhelmed Indonesia's healthcare system. The nation has approximately 400,000 hospital beds, 30% of which are allocated for COVID-19 patients. Before the Eid al-Fitr festivity in May this year, marking the end of the fasting month of Ramadan, only 23,000 out of the 120,000 beds were occupied. But during the last 6 to 7 weeks, the figure has grown to 90,000, Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin said on Tuesday. The government has focused its COVID-19 response on its most populous island of Java, where hospitals have been deluged with patients seeking treatment. But some more remote regions with far lower vaccination rates have started seeing more infections. Like most of Asia, Indonesia has been hit by the Delta variant because of the slow vaccination campaign. So far, only 15.9 million people, or 5.8% of the population, have received two doses of the vaccine. I am Robin Gomes.
Representatives of the Afghan government and the Taliban met in Doha, Qatar, for talks as violence rages in the country. Nathan Morley reports.
Most foreign forces have almost entirely withdrawn from Afghanistan. On Saturday, the French government flew out around 100 of its citizens and Afghans who are working for the embassy in the capital. It comes as security steadily deteriorates. Several other countries, including India, China, Germany and Canada, have already flown out their citizens or told them to leave in recent days. Now the two sides in the Afghan conflict are meeting again in Qatar to discuss the situation. However, commentators say the talks have lost momentum as insurgents have made battlefield gains in recent weeks. The Taliban have capitalized on the last stages of the withdrawal of US and foreign troops from the country to launch a series of lightning offensives. Pakistan on Saturday partially reopened its side of the southern border with Afghanistan's frontier. It had been shut after the Taliban seized control of a strategic Afghan frontier last week. The Taliban have also tightened their grip on the north, with clashes continuing near Turkmenistan. There have been weeks of intensifying fighting across the country, with the Taliban pressing multiple offensives and overrunning dozens of districts at a staggering rate. The speed and scale of the Taliban onslaught have caught many people by surprise. Analysts are currently saying it appears to be aimed at forcing the government to negotiate on the insurgents' terms or suffer complete military defeat. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
The Summer Olympic Games kick off in Tokyo, Japan on July the 23rd and will continue until August the 8th. The United Nations truce resolution for the Olympic and Paralympic Game Tokyo 2020 came into force from Friday. The truce calls for the laying down of arms across the world and for fighting to stop during the period of the Games. In a video message, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres welcomed the start of the Olympic truce 1 week before the Tokyo 2020 opening ceremony.
In a few days, athletes from around the world will come together in Japan for the Olympic and Paralympic Games. They've had to overcome enormous obstacles to participate in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. We need to show the same strength and solidarity in our efforts to bring peace to our world. The Olympic truce is a traditional call to silence the guns while the games proceed. People and nations can build on this temporary respite to establish lasting ceasefires and find paths towards sustainable peace. Seeking peace and uniting around common goals is even more important this year as we strive to end the pandemic and build a strong, sustainable and inclusive global recovery. I call on all parties to conflict to observe the Olympic truce during the Tokyo Olympic and Paralympic Games and to build on it in the weeks and months ahead.
The Olympic truce was due to have come into force last year, but was extended after COVID-19 caused the postponement of the Games to this year. The Permanent Council of the Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops has given its support to the bishops of Saskatchewan as it begins implementation of a province-wide appeal to help Indigenous peoples. The project is called the Appeal for Support of Healing and Reconciliation. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
The Permanent Council of the Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops released a statement on Friday noting its support to bishops of Saskatchewan who've issued an appeal for support of healing and reconciliation in favor of the Indigenous peoples of Canada. The project aims to generate fundraising to promote healing and reconciliation. It also foresees cemeteries on the sites of former residential schools, as well as educational and cultural support. The goal of the campaign, according to the Bishops of Saskatchewan, is to support Indian residential school survivors and their communities and to engage more deeply in our own ongoing commitment and response to the truth and reconciliation process. In the statement, the Bishops of Canada expressed once again how they are profoundly saddened by the residential school's legacy, and they renew their commitment to working with Indigenous peoples and communities towards a greater understanding of the priorities of healing and reconciliation and how to address them together. The statement notes now bishops from across the country have communicated their readiness to participate in local and regional fundraising activities, which will be coordinated after further planning and consultations. The CCB Permanent Council emphasized that the work of healing and reconciliation with Indigenous peoples is of fundamental importance to our local and national Catholic communities and to all of us as Canadians. It goes on, by renewing our commitment to work together with them, the Church in Canada pledges solidarity with the Indigenous communities of this land. In conclusion, the Council writes, we lift up our prayers to the Lord for the support and healing of residential school survivors, their communities, and intergenerational wounds still present. Canadians have been shocked by the discovery of more than 1,000 unmarked graves of Indigenous children discovered in the grounds of former residential schools, Catholic and Christian-run institutions funded by the government in the past century. The nation is investigating the matter through a Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
Pope Francis on Saturday sent a message to participants in the general chapter of the Franciscan Order of Friars Minor. During the gathering, a new minister general was appointed. He is Father Massimo Fusarelli, replacing Father Michael Perry, who is ending his mandate. But the gathering also aims to reassert the vision of the order founded by St. Francis of Assisi in times of pandemic, with a view for the future. In his message, the Pope encouraged the participants never to lose sight of their rich spiritual heritage and allow themselves to be provoked by the least of our time, to go out to meet the men and women who suffer in body and soul, offering their humble and fraternal presence. He also invited them to go towards a wounded creation, our common home, which, he said, suffers from a distorted exploitation of the earth's goods for the enrichment of a few, while conditions of misery are created for many. And he urged the friars to go forth as men of dialogue, seeking to build bridges instead of walls, offering the gift of fraternity and social friendship in a world that he described is struggling to find the course of a common project. Finally, the Pope reminded them of their mission to be men of peace and reconciliation, never straying from their closeness to the poor, the victims of modern slavery, the refugees, and the excluded of this world. They are your teachers, he said. Embrace them as St. Francis did. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. You can join us again tomorrow at this very same time for more. Meanwhile, for these and other stories, you can visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also follow us on Vatican News English Section Facebook page and on our Twitter account. My thanks go to Joe Mauriello in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.